Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live. And let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Hello and welcome to Sound Pathways. We have such an exciting show today and with so much inspiration. We're talking about heart beats and breath, the hidden power of heart rhythm meditation. Please help me welcome Susanna and Peran Baer, the co-founders of I Am Heart, which is a nonprofit dedicated to emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being through the heart rhythm meditation. For decades, they've pioneered this heart-centered approach. For me, love is the answer for all of our questions. And I look forward to delving deeper into all the aspects of our hearts and our breaths so that we can find more and more ways to heal ourselves and to help us to become whole and help us align with our living breath. Heart rhythm meditation synchronizes breath and heartbeat to create coherence in the body, mind, and spirit. Both have studied intensively for over 40 years and now represent Sufi master Pervyat Inayat Khan. Susanna holds a master's in counseling psychology and blends psychology, the arts, and Sufi mysticism. Peran studied mathematics and physics and combined science with spirituality to make ancient wisdom practical for modern life. Together, they've taught thousands worldwide and created the Breath and Heart app and authored many books, including Living from the Heart and Energize Your Heart. Let's dive into today's conversation. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, Karen. How are you?
Thanks for having it.
I can't wait to learn more and more about what you do. It's so beautiful. I'd love to know what inspired you in your personal lives to create this beautiful system in school and all that you have to help people with.
Well, that's a fantastic question, Karen. You know, as you can hear from my accent, I'm originally from Vienna, Austria, and I studied originally psychology, clinical psychology at the University of Vienna. And I was very, very, you know, I wanted to make a difference by studying the science of the soul. That's what psychology means. And when you work then in the field, you know, as a clinical psychologist, you test people and the people get the medications. So when I learned that this is how it actually works when you study the science of the soul, I stopped after in my dissertation phase and moved into theater. And by theater, yes, by working in theater, I worked at the State Theater of Basel after studying theater for some time, and I did actually women's theater. And I felt this was not really my dream work. I really wanted to help people to change their lives. And it brought me through theater and film. It brought me to America, to New York City, of all the wonderful places. And that's where all the difficulties showed themselves, you know, not knowing the language well enough, not knowing the culture. And I really looked and found a spiritual teacher, Pervyat Inayat Khan, as you mentioned. And that changed my life and brought my dream together. You know, the dream was to really help people spiritually through the technique of meditation. And there's a real wonderful technique to meditation which is connected with the heart. And that's what we do since then and have really changed a lot of people's lives.
Oh, that's beautiful. What a great mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want to share anything, Kura?
Well, I've always been interested in mysticism, and I wanted to find where I could learn this, where I could practice, get trained in this this wonderful area. Mysticism is like when you know that even your thoughts and your emotions, everything you do, has an effect on the whole world. That's how I would define a mystic. Because that happens, but usually we don't know that. So I was able to find the path, you know, to learn this and learn how to teach it. And so this is what we do. We teach people to be mystics.
Ah, it's beautiful. I'm all about dreams and visioning our path to living our highest potential. And what does it mean to lead life from the heart's potential, especially when we create and live our dreams?
Well, people usually get lost somewhere along the line, trying to follow their dreams. They get mixed up in something else and sort of off the path. And we find that what brings you back is this. There's kind of like a compass in the heart. The heart is itself has a sense of direction, and it's always pointing in the same direction your whole life. So we want to help people find what it is that you've always wanted to do your whole life. Now, it might have changed a little bit because we become more sophisticated, more clear about what it is, but that line has always been there. And that's the message of the heart. And so by tuning into the heart, you find that, and then your path goes straight.
Yeah. There's something like, where we think the purpose of your life is actually imprinted in your heart. And when this is the skill, how to activate the heart, how to bring energy into your heart. And when that happens, people really change. They change what they do, just like my little story in the beginning. And you become very risk positive. You take risks where you think this will never work out. But when you start listening to your heart, you become confident. And that's all you want to do, whatever it takes. And that's the amazing thing. That's
beautiful to have courage and become unstoppable.
That's right. And the creativity shows itself, and that's what is so inherent of human life, is to be creative and really fulfill your dreams, just as you say.
I think creativity, since I have the joy of being creative and being able to create, it's living from inside of yourself, having these visions and then seeing how you can make them become real, which I think is living in your dreams, not just having people tell you or wondering what people are thinking or what would make the most sense. Not that you're going to become completely impractical, but just to have that vision. And you have that beautiful school, I Am Heart. So the core mission and the message, how does that align with people finding their highest purpose? I know we've been sharing about it, but would you say it has to do with all your different forms of meditation and this deeper connection with our life rhythms? Or how would you be able to share that?
Well, like Susanna said, the impression is stored in your heart of what is your purpose in life, what is the project you volunteered for in your life, and it's in the heart. But the heart and the mind sometimes don't talk. So we want to help people connect their heart and their mind, so that you can understand what your heart feels, and follow that line. This is the way to be successful, I think, is to follow your passion, follow your real deep desire. And only the heart knows that. Nobody can tell you what it is, but your heart knows.
The thing is artists like you, Karen, I almost want to say they might have it easy to follow their heart or to follow their dreams because you have a certain talent that pulls you. And for everyday people, it is much harder to manifest their dreams. You know, they sometimes people study something at university or in school or as children. They want to do something, but to really follow through with it is people always tell them, well, you won't make money with this. And in order to really be able to live in this world, you need to make money. Yeah. And so what we have found, when people really follow their heart and follow their dreams, there's actually that built in too, that they can actually make it work for them in the world. That is what we have really found with all the people that we teach. And to have that courage for everyday people and have a technique for them, yeah, that helps them to find that way to their heart, that is the kind of work that we do. And there is, of course, a lot to it, you know, because for the creativity to open, you need to open the emotions in your heart. And see, when you look at the everyday people out there and our lives, and, you know, we come from that too, we don't want to look at the heart because the heart very often holds wounds. Do you see? Right? And that is where the work really starts. Because through the breath, you know, every meditation, there's no meditation that does not work with breath. And when you bring the breath to the heart gets energized and opens, and you know you get the height of the heart with all the visions, with all the wonderful dreams, but in the depths of the heart, there are wounds. And those are where the emotions are. And so people have a lot of judgment about having wounds, but you know, the heart holds that secret. That when you give attention and energy to the heart heals its wounds.
Heals itself.
That is a very, very well-kept secret, which we try to get out into the world. When the heart gets energy and attention, it heals its own wounds. The question is, what is the energy that comes to the heart? And it comes through the breath.
Beautiful. I like to work a lot with frequency and vibrations and the subconscious mind and where the wounds are and shifting them. So how would you use your process for shifting the frequencies as you emphasize the breath and the heartbeat and open new pathways for this transformation? How I know you did share already that the heart can heal itself, but do you feel the frequencies as they lift and change, or can you address that?
Yeah, so the body has two basic oscillators, or, you know, timekeepers, mm-hmm, clocks. One is the heartbeat, and the other is the breath rate. We can control the breath rate, and we can't directly control the heart rate, but the breath affects everything else in the body. It affects hormone levels, blood pressure, and certainly the heart rate. So you can control the heart indirectly through controlling the breath. There are different ways of breathing, we study that with different ways of breathing for different things. And when you breathe as if you were breathing through your heart, you imagine that the breath is coming in and out of your heart as you breathe. That gives this energy that Susanna was talking about that the heart needs for healing. And it just makes all the difference. It allows you to have then so much courage and confidence that you can pursue your passion, mm-hmm, which normally we feel we can't do. The mind says it's impractical, it'll take too long, it'll be too expensive. The heart says, it's the only thing I want to do. Mm-hmm. And you've got to follow that eventually. Some people put it off, but, you know, at the end of your life, you're going to wish you followed your heart.
Right. And see, when the heart is opened up, you know, the frequencies change depending if you reach into the height of your heart where your ideals and your visions are. Mm-hmm. There are different frequencies in the depth of your heart. And we use, as we mentioned earlier, we use sound invocations to especially move the frequencies in the depths of the heart, but also for the height. And those frequencies, you know, we make a big difference. For example, we used to that we listen to music, you know, classical music or different kinds of instruments. But the self-produced sounds, the sounds that you make yourself, they are much more powerful in the healing process than listening to them. So we teach actually sounds, you know, these are words that are being sounded out, and they have a big, big healing effect on them. If you want, I give you an example, or we can do this later. Right now?
Yes, right now.
Okay. So there's one that is really very healing when the heart is opened to the woundedness, and it sounds something like this. I have to put the sound on.
I did already.
You did. Okay. So it's almost like singing, but there's the word, and the word has a meaning to it, and we use this sounding out, especially, you know, leaning in on the vowels, which you do also in singing, but the consonants around the vowels give it a certain kind of character. And so this, when people do these sounds, or I myself do the sounds, it gives a very calming effect and helps the heart in that depth to feel the woundedness, and it's like a balm onto the heart. So this is one example of those.
What is the meanings of the words?
Well, that is softening the heart, and it looks for forgiveness.
How beautiful.
Because forgiveness is a very, very complex, difficult thing. And when you try to forgive with the mind, you have all this resistance. You have all these reasons why not to forgive. And when you do this sound, it softens you, and you just float into your heart. And that what you think of, where the woundedness is, what you like to forgive, it changes in the frequency itself, because the wound has a frequency and holds you and makes you resentful and holding back. You know, this is what the vibration does to you, that feeling. And the Rahman softens that.
And see, another important thing about the sound is that it's in the body.
Yeah.
And it's directed in the body. So we practice directing the sound to different parts of the body, but especially the
heart,
or the deep heart in the solar plexus. So we have different sounds for different parts of the body. And those parts of the body contain, you know, energy centers called chakras. Right?
Yes.
So you can stimulate the chakra with sound. Mm-hmm. And then the chakra does its work, you know. And so in the heart chakra, for instance, gives this, like you said, this forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
And courage.
I have a method in working with the chakras and the balancing and the vibrations. It sounded like it was really guttural in your throat, like it was, and the vibrations, it just felt like love that was in kind of embracing your heart and
yes,
and through the breath. So it's like almost like you were swallowing in the sounds inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's very beautiful. I noticed that you talk about different parts of the heart or different areas of the heart or different
dimensions.
Ways of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Could you share about that, please?
Yeah, so the heart has three parts in our study. There's the physical heart, which is very, very important. But the physical heart generates a magnetic field, which is even more important and bigger. The heart contracts, you know, electrically, and that every electrical contraction creates a magnetic pulse that goes outside the body. It's actually unlimited. And successive pulses create waves of energy coming out of your chest in all directions. And so working with these parts of the heart, this part of the heart, is gives you a very large being which fills the room and beyond that. And it we can work together in pairs with this by, you know, these fields overlap. And so you can feel what's happening in another person by feeling their magnetic field. So there's the physical heart and there's the energetic heart with this magnetic field. And then there's the heart, which is a reflector of the soul. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to find the soul in the ethers, you can find the soul in the heart. This means you can find yourself by going deep into your heart. And that's a breakthrough idea.
Mm-hmm. I also think that the soul kind of holds the heart, that the soul is the essence of who we are.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That's beautiful. I also am fascinated how there's sound waves, brain waves, and the heart waves. And they do all, they're kind of, can be coherent when we're open and balanced. And the messages, they're so quiet when we're in that state, we can hear the messages of our truth and what to follow. I'm fascinated, again, about the sounds that you created, because I know in Judaism there's these certain sayings, and I learned it once briefly, so I can't speak about it as an expert, but I think so many traditions, because you're based in ancient wisdom, Sufism and modern science and so many different things. Could you share a little bit more about the toning, the vocalization that you do to address different areas of the heart?
Well,
I mean, where the words come from?
Where the words come from? Well, the words are really coming from Arabic. You know, the Sufis have a long, long tradition going all the way back to the ancient Egyptians. The Sufis is a sort of a tribe of people that always look for the essence of the spiritual message of the time. And so the last one, you know, where the Sufis found this essence is actually in the Arabic, in the Islamic traditions. And so these Arabic words, and there are two in the Kabbalah, in Judaism, and in other old languages, in Aramaic, for example, they hold certain kinds of roots where the onomatopoeia of the word is there. The meaning of the word is close to what the spelling of it is.
And the sound of it.
The sound of it is, the vibration of it is. And we in our school in particular, we learned how to just elongate the vowels and use the consonant in addition to it. And so we work a lot with the energy centers, the chakras, as you're familiar with it too. But we see that the heart, when you really, the way how Puran explained it, that the heart has this incredible energy field, that it actually holds all the chakras and even much further. And so there we place the different vowels. You know, there are five vowels in the Western tradition. And those vowels go from a deep U, O, and then the R is in the heart, and there is an A, and there's the I in the third eye. So depending what the word is, and it's amazing, you know, there is there are different words. They guide you then into different parts of your body, into the depth or into the height. Do you see? And that, so... And as we see all the energy centers as the heart, you move into the depths of the heart where a lot of the difficulties are. For example, there's this sound Yamui, which is the giver of life, which is really deep. in the lower centers, and it sounds something like this. It goes into this really deep, into this, into the abdomen, you know, into the really base of your being, and you feel the vibration, and it, of course, it brings up wounds and heals them at the same time, and when, because it's the giver of life, so it really energizes you at the same time.
The breath is the giver of life?
Yes, that's what this sound means. So it's, one wouldn't guess that, you know, so it's not intuitive in that sense. And that's what helps, that one doesn't know really. When you make the sound, you don't know really that it means that, but it sort of really energizes you in a very, very deep way.
Beautiful. That's so peaceful. It brings up a lot of things into my mind. When I warm up on my viola, I like to sing the vowels, and as I change the shape of my mouth, it creates all the overtones, like the Buddhist monks with the guttural singing, where they're singing the low tones, and then you hear all the overtones ringing on top, which I could hear some of what you're doing, because then you have the whole, you have all of it being balanced, just so naturally, and that's a beautiful exercise. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, we have a sound like that that it reaches the depth of the heart, and then it rises at the same time, and so it combines the solar plexus, the heart, and the throat center in one sound. It's like this. Fun to do.
Can you do it again?
Wow. I can feel that so powerfully. Thank you. And as you said, it's when we do it for ourselves also that we feel it within, because we're an instrument.
That's right.
Exactly. I was vibrating. Right. And another thing that you shared, something that I like to emphasize, is how our thoughts are magnetic. They have a vibrational level. And to be so aware of what our thoughts are, because if it's fear and anxiety and shame and, you know, just anger and all those things, we're so stuck. But as we release it and just go higher and higher, which brings me to another question. How do we recognize the true voice of the heart versus the voice of the mind and fear? So how is this becoming distinctive as we want to be living our authentic and purpose-driven lives? How can we hear the difference?
Well, that's exactly right. You can actually hear the difference. When a person speaks inauthentically, from fear or from anxiety or lack of confidence, the voice isn't in their chest. It's not coming from here. You know, it comes from up here. You know, when it's talk like this, it gets thin and it gets weak. You know, and you can tell right away this person doesn't know what he's talking about. But you talk from your chest, and your whole body's talking. You know, and you have that conviction that you know this is in your bones. You know, you're speaking from your experience.
The other way you know that you really come from your heart, Karen, is, we do have these practices, you know, where you can ask your heart, you know, should I go ahead with this, or is this a good idea? You know, you can really, through heart rhythm meditation, through bringing the breath into your heart, you bring a question there, and you breathe this over and over, the same question, and see what comes back. You know, what, when you inhale, what does the breath bring you back? well, actually the vibration of your heart. And it's always when you are surprised, when you're like, oh my God, this is what I'm supposed to do, or this is what I'm supposed to. So it's a surprise. The heart often comes with a surprise. Instead of when the mind speaks, you are familiar with it and you're like, yeah, I know that and I don't want to do this, or yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It gives you a list of things to do. So then the mind is speaking when you deal with lists and so. But it's what we spoke earlier about, there's this creativity in the heart. And when that creativity of the heart starts speaking, you're surprised. And try to bring that together then, you know, in your life as a guidance or as an answer to that. So that's what we know with the heart speaking to you when you have questions.
Sometimes the heart speaks so loudly that you can actually hear it. We had a case where a man was walking down a hallway and he heard somebody say, purpose. And he looked around and there's nobody there.
Yeah.
But he heard it as clearly as if somebody was speaking. And wow. It started him on his whole spiritual journey to find, what is that purpose? Why is mm-hmm. that important? You know, I thought I was being effective. I was doing something useful. And he was, but there's still something that that makes it really click and makes you know that you're in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And probably when it's in the head, there's a lot of judgment.
A lot of judgment.
How to do it, and if you did it right, and you know what would people expect or need, and it's that trap too. Is it's never obtainable. Whatever is you're trying to seek is always more than you can do. And it's a kind of a cycle of negativity and of kind of disclaiming ourselves.
Well, we have a lot of respect for the mind. I'm sure you do too. But mm-hmm. the mind has a particular focus or work. And that is, it looks for differences. And that's how we can tell faces apart, and we can tell voices apart, and we can hear the difference. Mm-hmm. But the heart works differently. The heart looks for similarities. So when you see somebody with your mind, you see how different they are, and naturally we don't particularly like differences mentally. But the heart looks at people and says, you're like me. And there's an attraction, and there's like, this is familiar, yeah. I'd like to know more about you because I feel you're similar to me. And this is a fundamental difference between the way the mind looks at things and the way the heart looks at things.
Ah, it's beautiful. And the heart's gentle and comforting. That's really beautiful.
And courageous and creative and, you know, those things. So the heart has power. And the mind, as you said, like you said a minute ago, the mind has a lot of power, and it does. But the power of the heart is 100 times greater, and you can see that because when you have an emotion about something, you go with your emotion, even if it overrides your thinking. It's just stronger.
Mm-hmm. Do you see? And in the way these words, "I am heart." Is a very, very powerful mantra. You know, mantra is a short form for words to empower your heart. And I see sometimes when people are very nervous or they have afraid of panic attacks or God knows what, I should just say to your heart, I am heart. And you are safe and you feel confident and you feel courageous and creative. I am heart. This is our inherent vibration. And another whole program in our school we call I Am You. And most people think we mean university with it, but we actually mean I am like you. Mm. You know, when people recognize that we are much more similar with each other, they open up to each other and communities create much more easily. Mm. And we are much more helpful and inspirational to each other than, you know, what Puran mentioned earlier about seeing the differences. So this kind of I am you, and you wouldn't believe, you know, we look at different stages when we teach meditation, the process that people go through. And at one stage, you know, when people realize, you know, there's a whole course about the woundedness of the heart, and maybe I talk too much about that, but it's very interesting where people realize I'm like you, you know, because mm-hmm. when people are wounded, they all try to hide because out of shame. People are ashamed of the most unbelievable things, you know, that you don't speak the language perfectly, or that you are poor, or that you are too short, or that you are too this or that. There's so many reasons. And when people share this with each other, there's like a whole community creating, oh my goodness, I'm like you. And that creates a platform for people to connect and to be comforting and supportive of each other instead of being judgmental towards each other. And that creates then the platform to open up a whole other level of seeing the world, seeing the creativity, and seeing who we are. And I think that's an incredible power of the heart.
Beautiful. I love it. There's so much more I want to learn. But let's take a little break. And then I can't wait to ask a few more questions.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you ready to elevate your energy and awaken your dreams to their fullest potential? This isn't just music. It's transformative, intuitive healing, sacred frequencies channeled to shift your energy, dissolve blockages, and align you with your highest potential. It's your path to vibrant health, limitless dreams, and a life of purpose. Each note is harmonized to your unique frequency, unlocking profound healing, inner harmony, and a deep rejuvenating renewal. Discover the powerful tools of sound healing you carry with you. Visit KarenOlson.com/events to sign up for the free webinar titled Release Stress and Find Inner Peace Through Sound, and explore personalized one-on-one sessions at KarenOlson.com/services. The moment for peace is now. Don't wait. Embrace the healing you deserve.
Well, thank you. I want to thank you again for being here. This is really exciting and offers so much comfort and so many ideas to work with. Sometimes they're the same ideas, but to hear them woven differently, it just is really refreshing, and the message can reach even more people in new ways. I want to ask this question. It's just kind of 101, but what part of the heart do you feel is the feeling part? You know, that when people say I'm in love, or when they think, some people just think of the heart, how they, if they feel happy or they feel sad, how would you address that idea?
We like to value all the feelings of the heart. People, you know, typically they want to stay in the air, in the happy area, right? So if you think about the spectrum of emotion, like the keys on the piano, people like to stay in a certain little range where they're comfortable and they're familiar with it. But there's got so much more range outside of that comfortable space. You've got great happiness. I mean, happiness, real joy, is much bigger than happiness. And then there's, beyond that, there's ecstasy, which is a transformative, like a cosmic emotion, not a personal emotion. And then, on the other side, there are really deep, deep feelings of connectedness to all life, where you feel everything that's going on everywhere, and because these feelings, as I say, they're transmitted through the heart, and they're actually changing the vibrations of the heart according to the emotion. Well, that's what's called HRV, heart rate variability. The heartbeats don't come right on time. They wiggle a little bit. And they wiggle because of emotion. And the emotion causes a certain pattern in the wiggle. And you can see this on a computer. The reason is that this hasn't been explored as often as brain waves is because brain waves were easy to observe with simple electronic instruments. The variance in the heart rate required computers. And so it's only been in the last 20 years that people have been able to observe their heart rate variability. And HRV has become now a widely used tool. It's the way to measure something called vagal tone, which is the gold standard for stress resilience. Mm-hmm. So the objective in meditation is to increase vagal tone, which means the ability to handle stress. Mm-hmm. So you can't avoid stress, and there's no point in trying to go to some place in heaven where there's no stress because you have to come back. So what we want to do is expand the capacity of the heart to handle stress so that it doesn't throw you. You're just like a big ship on the ocean doesn't feel the waves like a canoe does, you know. Yeah. And you're on a canoe, you're going up and down with every wave, but a ship is going majestically through the water. And that's what we can do with the heart. We just open up this space of the heart, and all the emotions are there. And because they're all there, nothing sticks out. Nothing swamps you or, you know, throws you over. You've got the whole emotional spectrum. So that's what we're trying to do, is to feel everything.
Wow. That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And you can, it's like, it makes me think also of when you're recording, you have this mixing track and you can turn up parts and turn other parts down and bring out the melody that you really want to hear, the balance. And that's kind of the dream floating or moving forward. As you can help people change their heart and energize it, could you please share a story, one of your favorite stories about transformation that you've seen your clients experience? I'm sure you have many.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have one, I talk about this one. He probably mentioned several others, but I'm very fascinated by her. She comes from a doctor's family, and her family very, very much, you know, they found out very early on she has all the IQs and all the abilities to become a doctor as well. And she herself always questions that, because she saw that her father, who was running a clinic, he's retired meanwhile, was not very happy. But she became a doctor because her parents really urged her, and they said she would be set for life. And so then...
Financially.
In all ways. They thought in all ways. When you're a doctor, because, you know, a doctor is still somebody that people look up to. Mm-hmm. She's actually from a different country. She's not American. And so a doctor is really a job that people look up to, and you have always safe income and very secure. So she became a doctor, but because she always looked for something else, she thought, maybe I become an animal doctor. And at the end, she actually worked at the airport and worked for disease control, you know, like infectious diseases. And then she found out about, I don't know, through an incident, about this heart rhythm meditation, and that completely changed her whole life. She's now actually a teacher of science in a Montessori school.
Wow.
And teaches heart rhythm meditation, does seminars and web courses in her native language in Taiwan, but is a science teacher and really moved away completely from being a doctor. Also, she does not regret having done all these studies. So to us, that was very fascinating, and that was listening to her heart. So that was an interesting thing. Whom do you want to talk about?
I have a case of a man who works in finance, and he had worked in finance for a long time. Finance is a hard business. It's it's basically selling fear and greed, preventing fear and encouraging greed, and it's a tough business. So he was very successful with this. He made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he reached the point where he said, "Is this all there is? Is this it? Is this what life is like?" Mm-hmm. And he studied with us. He's still studying with us, and he finds now that he can make more money, but without selling, without pushing, without promising something he can't keep, or he does it by helping people with their dreams, like what do you need to do what you need to do in your life, and he helps people satisfy that desire that they've always had in their life, and it's very, very profitable for him. So this hard business can be can be successful in many ways.
It's so beautiful, the ripple effect.
Yes.
You'll never know all the people you're helping because it just...
That's right.
Every time we can change and raise our vibration, it's helping the world. And we all know how much we can help raise the vibration of the world. There's so many beautiful applications about how you could use the heart rhythm meditation for burnout and anxiety and stress.
Yes.
Releasing patterns and just stepping into your full potential. So you have many books. I was wondering if you could share with us a little synopsis of a book that we could get, and of course your courses, and how people can learn more and more about the ways that they can participate and change their lives.
Thank you.
Is this one?
Later, I think, on that. Our work is about teaching meditation and also about healing. So we're very interested in what's called energy healing, energy medicine, energy psychology. That's part of our work. And what we train people to do basically is, first of all, how to breathe. People don't breathe right. They breathe like if this is your lungs, people breathe like this. Very, very little breath. And we want people to breathe like this,
Could you demonstrate?
Well, it doesn't make any sound, but there's so much more
maybe
breath.
Talk through it, or would it be, is I trying to oversimplify it too?
Yeah, no, that's okay. In order to breathe out, you have to use these muscles below your rib cage.
The diaphragm.
Because the diaphragm muscle is right here at the end of the rib cage. Right here.
And then your stomach goes out, belly breathing?
That's right. And so when you breathe in, you make your belly into a big balloon, and it fills with air. And then when you breathe out, you have to compress the abdominal area, which pushes everything inside up and into the diaphragm, which empties the lungs. So this muscle called the diaphragm is a dome-shaped muscle like this. And when you breathe in, it straightens out like this, and the muscles attach to the ribs above it. You see, so the diaphragm straightens out and pulls the lungs down, and they fill up a little bit. And then to breathe out, the diaphragm relaxes and looks like this, but it doesn't move very much, and it doesn't move enough to empty the lungs. So the only way to breathe out more than half a liter is to squeeze the abdominal muscles and push everything up into the diaphragm. The diaphragm is then pushed up against the lungs, and the lungs empty. You've got to use muscles, conscious muscles, to breathe fully. Now that gives you energy and power. And in most meditation methods, this isn't done because they want to breathe very lightly.
And you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth?
We have four ways of breathing. in and out the nose, in and out the mouth. In the nose, out the mouth, in the mouth, out the nose. Ah. And they have different purposes.
Love it.
Like for instance, and these are actually, they're versions of these things which are familiar. Like when you're all of a sudden surprised, you go, right? Which is a quick inhalation through the mouth. And also when you do a sigh, you do a exhalation through the mouth. Always through the mouth, right? You don't sigh through your nose. But when you breathe, when you want to be still and calm, you breathe through your nose. And sometimes people breathe through their mouth, both in and out. Now, I've been a computer programmer for a long, long time, and all my computer programmer friends are mouth breathers. They just leave their mouth open and breathe, and it actually ends up stimulating the brain.
Interesting.
But it's better all around for you to breathe through your nose, because then you get nitric oxide, which is an important chemical in the body. It has to do with the circulation of the blood. So breathing through the nose is the preferred way, but there are reasons for all these different breaths. They all have their different purposes, and they're different energies. They cause the energy to move in different directions. One causes the energy to move upward, one causes the energy to move downward, or sideways, or forward. See, so depending on what you're doing, what you want to be doing, you can change the way you breathe and tune yourself to the energy you need for what you're doing.
Wow. So as you're doing this, do you imagine it going in and out of your heart with each exercise, or just as a special exercise?
Always through the heart. I mean, the breath is going. See, what we mean by breath has two parts. There's an airflow, which is going through your nose or your mouth or both or whatever. But then there's an energy flow. And as you breathe, you're doing both things at the same time. You're exchanging breath with the world, and you're exchanging energy with the world. The energy flow moves on the same rhythm as the air breath. And the energy flow, you can direct, you can send it, and you can send it through your heart. And you can feel when you do that, if you just think of your heart as you breathe, the energy goes there. Energy goes where attention is placed. So you place the attention in your heart, and the energy goes through it. So like when you play viola, and that was a marvelous piece that you played.
Thank you.
On the break. I love that.
Yeah, we should get your music, Karen. Yeah.
It makes all the difference, as you know, when you're feeling your heart, it goes into the music, right? And where if you're thinking about it technically and you're operating from your mind, you might get the technical part right, but you won't have the feeling.
Right.
But I can do a little meditation for you. You know, Puran explained this here very technically. But I could do it just in a very simple flow.
Yes, I would love
that. All right. So you just sit in a very comfortable position, whichever way and wherever you would like to sit. And it's good to take an intention for the meditation. It helps every meditation or everything you start. And in a beginning, an intention could be just to help you to feel your heart or what's in your heart. And if you have found that it's already in the beginning very helpful to put your hand on your heart, and if you feel comfortable, you close your eyes, but if you don't feel comfortable, you can keep your eyes open and look around in your room and see what a beautiful room you are in, you know, especially because you probably sit in a room that you created or that you like. And you can even look at some objects and see how these objects have meaning to you, and that you connect to them. And with that feeling that you are in a space where you feel comfortable and safe, maybe you can close your eyes for some time and just feel the sound in the room. Is there a sound? And maybe it is just a sound of silence. Or maybe it's the sound that comes from the outside. Or sometimes there's an inherent sound in the room that has accumulated itself. And with that feeling that there could be a sound and that there is, you're feeling comfortable in the room, you pay attention to your breath, to the air that comes through your nose. And you feel that you have an inhalation and an exhalation, your everyday breath. We breathe all the time. Inhalation and exhalation, and our breath is not very deep. And you can pay attention, is my inhalation more long or my exhalation? It really helps you to focus and bring attention to the breath and nothing else. And then you choose either the inhalation or the exhalation and really go deep. Like I like to suggest to you to elongate the exhalation. Exhale deeply, more deeply, and contract your abdominal muscles, the muscles below your belly button. And when you feel the inhalation wants to come, then you open up your belly and make it wide, like a big balloon, and let full air come in and widen your rib cage. And you breathe and breathe till you're full of breath, full of air, and then let the exhalation come again. So now your mind has a lot to focus on, because every time you want to fully exhale and fully inhale, you alternate between contracting your abdominal muscles when you exhale and widening your abdominal muscles when you inhale. And when you do this very deep, deep breathing, you can feel a lot of sensations in your body, a lot of changes, maybe heat, or maybe your heart or your pulse comes forward. And that is when you start looking maybe for your heartbeat or for your pulse. You can take your other hand and put it on the wrist of your hand. And by doing now this deep breath and connecting with the heart, you feel those two different clocks inside, that your heart or your pulse goes very steadily. You know, the heart has this lub-dub, this steady beat, while your breath goes in very, very long, deep rhythms. So it's like the drum and the violin or the viola together. So it's like you have this internal orchestra playing. Because your thoughts are there. You know, we're not shutting down our thoughts, but we're breathing deeply every time, exhaling fully, inhaling fully, and the heart beats and the pulse is there. And then you synchronize the heartbeats and the breath. And you're in this wonderful internal space of rhythms, sounds, and vibrations. And the breath, the deep, full inhalations and exhalations keep you still and open up the light within your heart. Because our breath holds on the one hand air and oxygen, on the other level energy, and then there's directly light coming through the breath right into our heart. And that gives us the possibility to really listen inward. Listen to this inner space, the inner sound. That holds the message of your very own heart for you. And then you let go of breathing this way and concentrating this way and open your eyes and look around in your room again and see how was this experience for you to connect with your heart through your breath.
So. Beautiful. That was so powerful. And calming. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, that's a taste of heart rhythm meditation.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm. Really feel the breath as being life and the heart is that I really am my heart and the connection. So many beautiful new insights. And I want to learn more and more. How can people connect with you and your courses? And your books, what's the best way to find you, follow you?
So we have here, I'm not sure if you see that, does she?
I don't see anything right now.
So go to our website, which is IAM, stands for the Institute for Applied Meditation, IAM, heart.org. So we're an organization, a nonprofit organization. /gift. IAMheart.org/gift, and you'll have access there to some special things you get to have for free.
Beautiful.
And introductions to our work.
Yeah, we have 7 days a week. We have free classes on there with live teachers. They're at different times of the day, so you can pick your day. And
amazing.
So live teachers every day on, you know, online through Zoom for a whole hour. Somebody's there for you, and you can ask questions or do a meditation with them. We also have the app. The app, you get on the iPhone or two on the other phones.
Android.
The Androids. And it's called Breath and Heart. Because that's what we do, breath and heart. And there are hundreds of meditations in there, very basic instructions.
It's
you
free,
can learn about heart rate variability.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then we have longer courses. You know, we do 1.5-year courses that have sounds in there. We just finished up a program in mysticism, which we have a residency from, or we teach 2-year programs where we, you know, within our school, we have mentors, teachers, and retreat guides, and we do all those trainings as well.
So you can be certified?
Certified mentors and teachers,
yeah.
Beautiful. Really beautiful, all the work you're doing and sharing and changing the world and how you were able to change us today. Just so beautiful that we can all benefit from our heart's true power for our healing and insight and transformation and so much love. You're just really beautiful, and I can't thank you enough. Many blessings and light and love.
Well, we wanted to thank you, Karen. You are an incredible inspiration.
It's great work you're doing.
And your music is just simply divine. I really would like to have
it.
We're going to get access to your music and use
we'll
it in our seminars.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll continue the conversation.
We will. We have musicians in our school, too.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been just such a blessing and gift. And the gift continues.
Thank you so much.
Love. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Now. Namaste.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so very much for joining us on today's transformative journey. We're honored to have shared this space with you, and we hope you're feeling inspired and aligned with your highest self. For more insights, resources, and to continue your path of healing, be sure to visit KarenOlson.com, your gateway to deeper sound healing, music, and wisdom. Remember, Sound Pathways is here every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio TV, Station 1. Until next time, stay aligned, stay inspired, and let the magic of sound guide you.